I hope I could do a little justice to this to the psalm. It's so beautiful and so wonderful. It's quite a challenge to do well, but I will endeavor to attempt that now. First, I want to read Psalm 46. It's only 11 verses. And I'm basically going to go through it all, but my focus will be on the Selah of the psalm, and you'll understand that as I go along. So let's hear God's word. Wonderful, wonderful word. Best word of all. In all the world, best word to hear. Not even our own words, although sometimes our words are filled with wisdom for sure, but this word is beyond us. This is to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. And beginning now, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged and kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. May God bless his word to us. Once again, Lord, we are in your presence now, a worshiping people, but we desire most of all to hear you speak to us, to your word. And we are thankful that that is the major moment of our life. It's certainly the mainstay in the church, the preaching upon your word. The word of God is central and central in our lives. May we hear it now some more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back in the 1980s, a novel appeared, first published in Czechoslovakia. And then it was translated into English by the novelist Milan Kundera. This novel entitled The Unbearable Lightness of Being. The Unbearable Lightness of Being. It's a book about the sterility and the artificiality of life at the end of the Soviet age in Czechoslovakia, at a time when lies were so rampant that the people didn't know the difference between the truth or a truth and a lie. The media would report that the stores are full of food, and then you go in and you find that the shelves were completely empty. It was one thing after another. Unreality and reality had been so blurred. And what Kundera the novelists try to demonstrate is that eventually you cannot even figure out what your life means. And although Kadundra was coming at this from a secular point of view, his point was cogent. And that point is relevant for us today. That people then, as people now, are having an identity crisis. Confusion reigns, corruption spreads, lies abound, especially among the politicians and in the media, and true identity is lost, especially among our children. This is what is happening. And this book was written back in the 80s by a secularist who saw that the Soviets were just lying all over the place and no one knew the truth from error and all that stuff, just like today. No one knows. These so-called a Supreme Court justice cannot define what a woman is. Can you believe that? She knows. But she lies. That's what causes identity crisis. Lies. More and more. Many today appear to be suffering that unbearable lightness of being. And there is, as Dr. Albert Mohler remarks, there is so much emptiness in society around us. There is so much unbearable lightness of being. And he goes on to say, human beings are made to be heavy. And I pointed out this morning a little bit that he's not talking about weight. He's talking about honesty. He's talking about integrity. He's talking about building a life with a family and helping build lives of others through rearing children, being part of a family, being part of a church family, giving you substance and depth and meaning to life, because that's what we long for. Meaning. What's my life mean? And family and church, with many other things as well. Jobs and work give depth to us. And so we're called to meaning. We are drawn to truth. We understand how vulnerable we are, both individually and socially. We yearn for security. We look for a refuge. We want authenticity. We want a rescue from anxiety. We want meaning in our life. We want truth. Certainly, as Christians, we want truth, nothing but truth, right? Nevertheless, even non-Christians find stability in truth even when it hurts, as the psalmist says in Psalm 15. Experience's wisdom teaches that man does not live by bread alone, that there must be something more to life than me and the little I know, feel, and like. But what? Who? One notices after a time that life, existence, is pretty big. There's a lot of it. There's a lot about it. A lot of good and pleasant things, to be sure. But also very many trials and troubles. Where to turn? Turn to whom? Verse 1, God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, when we're in trouble. Why would I need refuge and strength? Because there is trouble due to the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve. And Jesus said in this world, before he left, in this world you will have tribulations. You can count on it. Take heart. I've overcome it all. Where to flee for refuge, safety, shelter, hope? There are rains and storms and dangers that bring physical harm. There are falsehoods and lies that bring spiritual harm. I know by now I have weaknesses. I need might. I need strength. God is my strength, my refuge and my strength. He is a very present help when I am in trouble. Notice his, like I said before, he is a very present, he is an immediate help. He's not simply or merely a help or a helper in the past. So you look back in the past and you find out how God answered prayer and helped you and all that. It's not just that. Or a help in the future. But lo, I am always with you. I will not ever forsake you. I will not abandon my own. I love you everlastingly. In the midst of storms and trials and troubles, and there are given many by God, here now is given a song to sing that may lift you above the moment to taste and see that the Lord is good, and to remind you to selah, pause, reflect, be still. That's what the word means. Pause. Could mean something else, but most likely pause. Musical term. Pause. To the chief, be still, know that I am God. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. Alamoth has been translated to mean girls. That is the soprano or female voice. Perhaps falsetto. Charles Spurgeon remarks, the sons of Korah were a division of the Levites who took their turn in serving at the temple. All the works of holy service ought not to be monopolized by one order of talent. Each company of believers should, in due course, enjoy the privilege. None ought to be without a share in the service of God. A song of Alamoth, which made a note that the music was to be pitched high for the treble or soprano voices of the Hebrew virgins. They went forth in their dances to sing the praises of David, Alamoth, when he smote the Philistines. It was meet that they should make merry and be glad when the victories of Jehovah became their theme. We need to praise God upon virgin hearts with souls chased towards his ear, with lively and exalted expressions and happy strands. Or the word Alamoth may refer to shrill-sounding instruments. In 1 Chronicles 15:20, we read about all the Levites and all the master singers and all playing with cymbals and psalteries and things like that, sounds of music called Alamoth. We are not always in a slovenly manner to fall into one key, says Spurgeon. But with intelligence ought to modulate our praises and make them fit in the expression, the expressive of the occasions and the joy it creates in our souls. These old musical terms like selah, Alamoth, cannot be interpreted with certainty, but they are still useful because they show that care and skill should be used in our sacred music. It's one reason why I find some music that they play in church noteworthy. Doesn't belong in church, in worship anyway. Concert, camp, some fun event, fine. But church should have its own sacred music. The Lord's people are happy and secure. This is the doctrine of the psalm, the entire psalm. It has been called Luther's psalm because of the hymn he wrote, "For our confidence in the Lord, a mighty fortress is our God." We'll sing that at the end. The psalm is divided into three parts, each of which ends with Selah. Pause. Reflect. Be still. I enjoyed very much attending Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church with my son while visiting with him in Florida. There they have an impressive choir. The choir sung songs in masterful manner. The singers sung in perfect harmony and pitch. They all came in exactly in at the same time after an impressive pause. The perfect pause made the song all the more splendid. The momentary silence between stanzas brought impact to the message of the hymn. It invited you to listen more carefully. Comedians get this. Comedians will say, it's all about the timing. It's all about the timing. When you just time your word, this at the right time, and that's what makes the joke. Timing. That's what makes the song. Pausing. The right pause at the right moment. It emphasizes things. That silence. Then the next. Listen, verses 1, 2, and 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Pause. Reflect. Be still. Consider what you just heard. Hebrew poetry. These verses may refer to the present upheavals that are in the earth, the calamities and catastrophes that plague the earth and the skies in our day, troubled waters that swallow ships at sea, tidal waves, tsunamis, hurricanes that wipe clean coastal regions, earthquakes that shake cities, bridges, roads, even mountains. My wife's sister, Liz, moved from the Midwest, where she was living, to California. And she liked California, save for one thing mainly, the earthquakes. It's a very unnerving thing. And you really don't get it until you're in it. How it makes you fear. How it makes you tremble within. Yeah, I won't do that. You got to be well trained not to be able to keep your cool there. You just, or be used to it. She couldn't get used to it. She couldn't abide living there any longer, so she moved back home to the Midwest. Plus the earthquakes. Perhaps we're treated to the two cities idea of Augustine. As Christians, we are citizens of heaven and we are citizens here on the earth. Earthbound citizens are treated to multiple disasters and upheavals. Someday, this present earth with its heavy-handed reality will be removed. Mountains will be carried off into the sea and God with Christ will establish a new heaven and a new earth. You, Christian, are being protected. You, Christian, are being groomed for that day, the day of Christ's return on the clouds of glory. Everything that's happening now, and to you in particular, God is grooming you for that day. Find your refuge and high tower in Him who cares for you. Not a single hair, as you have been told by our Lord, not a single hair falls from your head without His notice. Take heart in the only one that will carry you through to the end and place you in the seat at His table in the new heavens and the new earth. Bank on it. Your new life is in His capable hands, not in the hands of princes and presidents of this world. Do not be moved to disquiet and fretting. Your heavenly Father has you as the apple of His eye. Pause when troubles ensue. Reflect when trials unite. Be still and know that He is your God and Christ is your Savior forever. And also remember this, every moment. In each and every moment. The second stanza of this glorious hymn, verses 4 to 7. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Pause. Reflect. Be still. Consider. Your citizenship in the city of God. Christian, your city, your tabernacle, your life will not be removed. The cities of man will one and all be collapsed into the dust. Every one of them. Removed forever will be the cities of man. Even as nations of the past have come and gone, empires have arisen and fallen. Where, oh, where is Constantinople of old? Where is the ancient Roman Empire? For that matter, where is the British Empire? None of man's cities is built to last. None of his nations is invincible, including the United States. Where, oh, where have the great and terrible leaders of the past gone? Alexander, Napoleon, Hitler, Stalin. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Fear them not, neither trust them fully. Hope in the Lord, for all leaders, governments, even societies will melt away from the earth, and like the earth itself will melt at the voice of the Lord. Say that which is in Christ, that will stand, that will remain. Lighter than air are they, blown away like the chaff in the wind. Read Psalms 1 and 2 when you get home, when you have the time. And rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven and on earth someday. There's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. You will not be removed. You shall stand. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathens raged, the kingdoms were moved. They were removed. He uttered His voice, and the earth melted. Be still and know that I am God. The great I Am is on our side, come what may. Third stanza, 8 to 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. That's where we get that movie, right? Chariots of Fire. That's where it comes from. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Desolations had he sent even among the nations, warring against God's Israel. Who can forget? Even our children have heard of it. The 10 plagues he sent into the land of Egypt among the Egyptians, devastating the land that held captive his dear and precious saints. Let my people go, exclaimed the prophet Moses. Finally, Pharaoh did, until he didn't, chasing down God's people to the edge of the sea, that he may cause a slaughter among them and drag some back into slavery. God, however, would not allow his people to be exterminated by the enemy. So he used the waters of the sea to utterly destroy the wicked ambitions of Pharaoh and the Egyptians that came against his precious children. What desolation he had sent into the camps of the enemy. He broke their bows, he cut their spears in half, he set the chariots on fire. He rescues his people repeatedly during the entire period of Judges, some 300-400 years, though they deserved not saving. Christ, who would die for them, did deserve a people for himself. War. The desolations brought about surrounding it are never pleasant. They are intense, noisy, nasty, convulsing its victims, distracting even. Perhaps that's not the best word to use in this instance, but useful to have us remember that the Lord is on our side. Don't be distracted by anything. Do not think for a minute, no less extended period of time, until all fear has passed away from you, that you are alone and that God has somehow forgotten his promise. But rather pause, consider, be still, and know that our God is a living, ever-present God with us. Almighty Savior is he, a general that will never abandon his troops, who gave a poetic speech saying, I will be exalted among the heathen, for some will convert and join us. Others will not join, but join the defeated devil's army. In either case, God will be glorified, and with him, so will you. And further, I will be exalted in and throughout the earth. Every knee shall bow and tongue confess to the glory of God the Father in heaven that Jesus Christ, his Son, is Lord. You and I are called by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 more than conquerors through him who loves us. There is this belief among unbelievers that insists that we must get all our joys, our happinesses, our fulfillments from this life. That's what they believe. That if I'm going to get any joy and happiness and fulfillment, I got to get it now. I got to get it from this world. It's in this world to have, to get, to grasp, to hold, to hang on to. And how sad that is, for that will never happen for anyone, rich or poor. There will always be a place you haven't visited if you are a traveler. There will always remain an experience you wish to have that you will not. The believer's joy, the believer's happiness, and his fulfillment is in Christ, and that is eternal. It's eternal joy, eternal happiness, eternal fulfillment, everlasting. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, 10,000 upon thousands and thousands of angels is with us, is on our side. Who can stand? Who may stand against us? That's said in the Word of God. Who can stand against us if God is on our side? With his 10,000s upon thousands upon thousands of angels, one angel can defeat the entire United States Army. One. And the God of Jacob, Jacob is his name, and he was later called Israel, latched onto the heel, called Israel, he wrestled with God. He is our refuge, our shelter, and our Savior, the God of Jacob. Do you believe all this? What I'm saying, do you believe all of it, or any of it, or most of it? What is it? What is it with you? What is it with me? You believe it or not? I'm not just talking about believe Jesus Christ that he saved you from his sins on the cross. We all believe that. Do you believe all the rest of this stuff? Or does it just go by? God, who has spoken once, then twice, then thrice in this psalm, has told you over and over and over again, Selah. Be still. I have you in the palm of my hand. I am not letting go. Do not fear. Do not move. Do not tremble. Look to me. Look to Christ, your King. Look to the Spirit that is within you. The three persons of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are with you, are in you. Right? Because Jesus said in the Gospel of John, the Father and I are going to abide in you. I'm going to give you the Spirit, and we are going to make our reside, our home, our habitation in you. Greater is he in you than he who is in the world. It is meet, said Spurgeon, suitable, to sing this line twice over. He's talking about line 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Spurgeon said, it is a truth of which no believer wearies. It is a fact too often forgotten. It is a precious privilege which could not be too often considered. Is the Lord on my side or not? Is he Emmanuel, God with us, thy Redeemer, or not? Is there a covenant between thee and God as between God and Jacob, or not? So, thrice happy art thou, says Spurgeon, show thy joy in holy song and in times of trouble. Play the man, be still making music for thy God, Selah. Here, before, lift up the heart and rest in contemplation after praise. Keep the soul in tune. It is easier to sing a hymn of praise then continue in the spirit of praise. You get that, what he said there? It is easier to sing a hymn of praise. At first when I read that, heard it from Spurgeon, read it, I said, what's this mean? Is it easier? It's easier to sing a hymn of praise than continue in the spirit of praise. Because when out there, you know, all the troubles and all the things that are going on, it's hard to keep that spirit of praise going, you know, in the same way, in the same enthusiasm, in the same pitch, if you will, and tone, if you will, and song, if you will, then when you come to the worship with God's people and you sing the hymn of praise, at least take a moment out of your busy life, a couple hours in the week, to do such as that. What else are you doing? What's so important that you can't stop and sing a hymn of praise to the Lord? A few hymns of praise to the Lord in this glorious Sabbath day of rest He's given us to do that. Because it's hard to maintain it all the time. So let it be our aim to maintain the uprising devotion of our grateful hearts, and so in our song, as if we intended it to be continued, says Spurgeon. I want to read something before I end here from 1 Kings and 19. Listen to this. You've heard this before. 1 Kings 19, verses 9 to 13. And he came thither unto the cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And Elijah said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it." You know, he's in trouble, right? He's running for his life. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord." Listen. "But the Lord was not in the wind." "After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake." You getting the picture here? "After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so. Then Elijah heard." Dear people, be still. God speaks to you. He will speak to you so that you can hear Him. Not in the commotion. Not in the commotion. But after it, a still, small voice. Selah. Didst the music rest? Pause in silence, soft and blessed. Selah. Didst thou lift the strain? Harps and voices tune again. Selah. Did the vocal praise still your hearts to God upraise? This beautiful psalm is given to us from the riches of the Lord, from the treasury of David. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this psalm. I pray that some justice was done here tonight in viewing it and talking about it, but most of all in believing it, in praying it into our lives, knowing that you are giving us confidence, you are giving us safety, you are our God and our guide through all our days, you are our strength, you are our help. And may we learn that well and rehearse that over and over again, so that when the time of trouble comes, and we all have had them and will have them, we know well that you are with us. That we may pause. That we may be still and know that you are our God, a very present help in times of trouble. Thank you for giving us this beautiful word. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.